Hello and good evening, everyone. This is Matthew Fraley and Steve Nelson with BreakpointTrades.com. This is the first weekend newsletter of 2009. So happy New Year to everyone, especially those of you who have been out on vacation. And let's hope this is a good year. We have lots planned for Breakpoint Trades, lots of major improvements, and of course we will always try to keep you on the right side of the trade. We think it's going to be a lot of opportunity this year, but also, you know, ultimately a lot more pain to come for many individuals in the market. So let's profit as best we can here. So anyway, as you can see, the market via the first table at the top, the market overall on all aspects had a great week. You see nothing but green. The major indexes were up all over 6%, the Dow up over 500 points. Sector-wise, everything was up, you can see. And commodity-wise, everything was up, and some nice double-digit gains there. So overall, a good week. Though again, it was a light volume week. Many of the pros are out on vacation, and many should be returning this week. And so we will see what the pros do. Do they jump on and extend a rally, or do we have some pullback? And Steve will talk about that below. But, you know, we could be, looks like we're in the throes of the this counter-trend rally, and that we've been expecting. On our watch list over the last several weeks, since late November, we've had nothing but longs, and they're now finally doing very well. However, the watch list, I will be covering this in more detail after Steve Nelson talks below. We have new members, and you know, new people that come to the website usually have some initial questions on the watch list and how it works, and so I will be covering that. First quarter this year sometime, we plan to launch a new website, and hopefully the new website will clear up a lot of the questions that new folks have. So I'm anxious to get that out, but there's still quite a bit of work to do. And with all the time that Steve and I spend on the website, honestly, it's hard for me to have any extra time to work on the new website, but we'll get it out eventually. Anyway, next, let's go ahead and move on. The second table here is the major news of the week, and of course the big news item, of course, is the unemployment on the 9th. And, of course, that's going to be a big deal going forward all year. And, as you know, unemployment continues to go up. And wouldn't be surprised, ultimately, if we get up into the double digits. But so that's the big news item of the week. Now, starting on to the charts, first, let's look at the big picture charts, which we always discuss each week. And this first chart, especially, I've had over the many of the past newsletters is a weekly chart of the S&P 500. It's a very nice big picture KISS chart. Keep it simple. It uses two moving averages, exponential moving averages, a 13 and 34 EMA. Quite simply, whenever they cross, it tends to be major inflections in the market. It tends to define bull bear markets very effectively, as you can see. And using this chart, you would be well ahead of 99% of the average population out there. And so this chart would have got you out basically in January of 2008. Now, one point I want to make is that you can see still how spread apart these moving averages are. And knowing how these moving averages move, and since the weekly chart, just eyeballing it, I bet it's at least going to be a year or more before these moving averages cross again to indicate a new major trend reversal or a bull market. So it's got quite a long way to go, folks, and so it's always nice to keep this big picture in mind. And the next chart's another weekly chart of the S&P 500, and quite a lot of information on this chart, but some interesting things. First off, the 89-week moving average, that is a fib number as well. You can see how it was support during the last bull market, and it became resistance. Beautiful back test of the 89-week moving average in May, late May, which was just an unbelievable shorting opportunity. You can see a little five-wave downtrend here. So we're in the throes of a counter-trend rally. It is possible over time. It's no one knows for sure yet, but if that this counter-trend rally could eventually make its way up to the 38% retracement or maybe even the 50%, though that seems quite far away, the 89-week moving average would be also a major resistance. Again, it depends on how long it takes. You know, we could chop around up there. We could move up higher, then pull back, then move up again. But then ultimately, we think it'll be just be a wave B bounce. And then with a devastating wave C decline to come. The whole wave decline from October 2007 to November lows last year was wave A. So the bear market is not over, folks. Besides, you know, despite what the pundits on CNBC and everyone else tells you. So we're in a counter-trend rally, and that's all it is. And keep that in mind. So let's hope we have some more upside. We'll play it. But oh, another thing to keep an eye on, if we do get up into those upper levels, 60-period stochastics, which I've discussed quite a bit, you can see how it's still below 20%, and it really needs to get above that 20% level. But if it does, a potential target area would be just under the 50% level there, which I haven't read. And you can see how well that has worked in past years. The previous bull market, it's that 50% was support, and it was resistance in the bear market, so it is resistance now. That would just be a fantastic shorting opportunity if it ever did get up near those areas. So we'll have to see. And next is just a Wilshire 5000 weekly chart, the broader index of 5000 components. Here, the 65-week moving average, you can see, is key in bull and bear markets. And I've, again, the same analysis applies, and I also have the fibs drawn on this chart with the stochastics as well. And then the last chart I'm going to talk about is a daily S&P 500 chart. This is actually from the previous bear market. Now, this bear market we're currently in is much different than the bear market from 2000 to late 2002 in severity and scope. However, the one thing I found interesting here was each rally stopped around the 200 EMA. And so that the 200 EMA or even 200 daily moving average could be a will be an area to watch if the market does move ultimately much higher on the counter-trend rally. And also the 60-period stochastics here on the previous bull market, you could see how you had fantastic shorting opportunities when it got above 80% and then crossed back below it. And so that's one thing to watch as well on the daily. So I think right now on the daily chart, the S&P 500 is, the 60-period stochastics is just at 50%. And that chart is below, and Steve Nelson will talk about that eventually. So I'm going to give it over to Steve, and again, I'll talk about the watch list and commodities below.
Thanks, Matt, and Happy New Year to everybody. And I know that many of our members were out for the holiday and spending time with their family, and that's wonderful. After last year, everybody certainly could use some reprieve from the market. But as is often the case, during some light volume, you tend to get some bigger moves. And over the last three trading days, we did see the market make a nice percentage gain. I tend to call those stealth rallies, and they come out of the blue. Everybody was looking for a so-called Christmas rally. Well, it turned out to be more of a New Year's rally. And one thing I did point out, and the next chart will show this, is a weekly chart of the S&P, is that the MACD histogram went positive during the week, and I pointed out that normally when the histogram moves above zero on a weekly time frame, it's a pretty powerful signal, and sure as heck, that led to a nice move over the last three trading days. And in, of course, when I pointed this out on the 30th, I said that the week wasn't over, so we had to see, and needless to say, the week concluded, and the histogram now did close above the value of zero. You can see that the RSI trend line was breached to the upside. So all in all, our counter trend rally is unfolding. But again, as Matt stated earlier, this is a counter trend rally, and if you are a big picture investor, longer term investor, you should be looking at this rally as a means to raise cash. Now, this rally may play out for months, but again, as is often the case, people start feeling better at the conclusion of rallies, and then they become apt to getting complacent and forgetting about what transpired. So never lose sight of the fact that without some dramatic changes, that we must view this as a counter-trend rally. Now, with that said, as Matt alluded to earlier, we have been expecting some type of counter-trend rally, and thus we positioned on our watch list exclusively on the long side. And it's been a tumultuous move off the November lows until last week. We didn't see a lot of gratification, but last week kicked in nicely. And if you look at those watch list items, they've done extremely well. Not to mention the numerous mechanical systems that we've put out there. Most of those have done fine during this period as well. And when we were really trending, they simply did outstanding. And again, if we do get up to those levels, some of those higher resistance levels, it will be then that we're looking at a more sustainable trend back to the downside. And that's where I think the big money can be made on the short side. Enough said. Let's now look at a couple other items on this weekly chart of the S&P. I've drawn in a falling channel. I also have the 1334 on there. You can see that the S&P is now rallying back up towards its 13-week moving average. We are getting a positive cross on the MACD, which is to be expected as the histogram went positive. Now the only question is, how far can we go up? And again, we've got some of the Fib targets. And depending on if you want to take a Fib target of the entire bear market or the third wave, there are numerous areas. But potentially around the 960 to 1160 area, 1170 area, is a big broad range of varying resistance levels. And we'll go over those a little later, so let's move on. The next chart's a weekly chart of the Dow. Again, very similar to the S&P. We see that the MACD histogram has gone positive. One thing to pay attention to here is the RSI, where we have horizontal resistance above. Maybe we rally up to that area and turn back down. You can see that that area, which is shown in red, has capped all of our rallies so far on a weekly time frame. As I've mentioned now for several weeks, our monthly and weekly stochastics have been on buy signals. One reason why we have been positioned as such on the watch list long. The NASDAQ Composite Weekly Chart, here again, you can see that we have upsloping RSI. We have made a little divergent low there. We've got a positive cross going on in the MACD, and our stochastics there are on buy signals. The next chart is something we don't show often, but it's a weekly chart of the Wilshire, which is the broadest index we follow. And here again, it's lined up very nicely with the other major indexes, as we talked about with the S&P above. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but potentially we get up towards a 38% or a 50% retracement level on this zigzag type rally. Now, let's move on to the daily charts. And one thing we've talked about recently over the last couple of weeks, and we emphasized this last week, and if some of you were on holiday, we want to point this out, and that is that we have really been consolidating for several weeks after putting in that low on November 21st. And as a result, we saw our Bollinger Bands tightening, coming together. And normally, when they begin to pinch like this, it is followed by a larger move. Now, as a result of last week's move up, it looks like that move potentially is going to be to the upside. But again, the only caution there, and we need confirmation, is the fact that we moved up on light volume. Now, light volume is acceptable when many of the participants are off on holiday, but we really want to see what's going to take place as the majority of the traders return back to their desks this week. So the only fly in the ointment with the bullish case that I can see is that, you know, the majority of the traders were out and they are going to act differently. And I don't put a high probability on that. But as we've stated, we're always ready to change and we're always prepared to change. But for now, things on the daily charts, the weekly charts, and the 60-minute charts in particular all are arguing for higher prices at this time. Now, let's move on and look at the snapshot of the major indices. The next chart is a snapshot of all the major indices. Since I'm going to spend some time on this below, I'm not going to go into a great detail on it. It's just a reference for you to see some of the patterns that have formed. And what you can see on this snapshot of all the major indices is ascending triangles are in place on almost all of the major indexes. And ascending triangles are bullish patterns. And as you can see, it was Friday that we managed to break above the horizontal resistance, which was part of the ascending triangle pattern. Now, we just need to see some further follow through and moving away from that area. What we may see is a back test of those horizontal resistance areas, which may now turn into support. That may occur Monday, or it may occur after a higher move first. So let's pay attention to those horizontal resistance areas, which, like on the S&P, was the 918 area. On a pullback, we'd like to see buyers step up at those areas should we get a pullback and continue to support this market. And I'll go over that in a minute. Now, let's move on to the individual indexes in more detail, and of course, as I always do, we're going to spend the most time on the S&P as our proxy. So the first chart here shows, again, a daily chart of the S&P with an ascending triangle pattern, and the thing that we want to make note of here is off of our most recent down leg, our Fibonacci areas of resistance, and those come in at 1007, at the 38% retrace all the way up to the 1172 area. The 1007 area is particularly noteworthy in that it also corresponds to horizontal resistance, our previous swing high back in early November. So that is certainly an area of resistance to make note of should we get up there. Again, we're gonna keep our eye on some of our indicators, like the 60-period stochastics, which right now are approaching the 50 area and have struggled there since this downtrend has began. And we're going to see if we can break above. If we can break nicely above that 50 area, then there's a good chance this rally will extend and these slow stochastic 60s will move up to the 80 area. As you can see just below that, we have the Bollinger Band as shown as an indicator here, and you can see the Bollinger Bands moving down are at low levels. We've got a downtrend line in there in place. So thus, we're looking for a bigger move to come. And right now, it looks like that bigger move may be to the upside, but sometimes you get a false move. And again, we'll see how the market reacts or how the traders react once they return to their desks this week. See if we get further follow-through or if there is something else going on and we get a major reversal. At this stage, we have to lean to the upside. But since we're in a unique bear market, and what I mean by unique is a treacherous bear market, we always, and I mean always, have to be cognizant of downside risk and never get complacent. Now, let's move on to the daily chart of the SPY, which clearly shows the ascending triangle pattern. And here I want to point out on the SPY that this particular pattern measures up to 103.67, which happens to fall right in between the resistance zone that I've highlighted on the price chart. So you can see the resistance zone right around the 100 to 104.7 area. And this pattern has an objective measurement right around that 103.5 area, which would take us right into that resistance zone. Will it or will it not play out? We'll see. We need to see volume pick up as the players return, but right now it's a bullish setup. One thing I did point out last week when many of you were away, and this was on Monday night's update. It was our full stochastics 5-3 crossover on this S&P, which is the next chart. And on Monday, even though we had a slight down day on Monday, we got a bullish cross on this particular indicator on Monday. And lo and behold, and we got a bullish cross from below the 20 area. And lo and behold, we rallied nicely on Tuesday, Wednesday, and again on Friday. Now we're reaching overbought areas, but we're far from getting a negative cross. I would be cognizant of a negative cross in terms of a potential exit for those of you who are trading this on the long side. But at this stage, it still looks fine. Now let's move on and look at the 60-minute chart. And this one is somewhat complicated, so let's spend a little time on this. Back in November, we talked about the potential of the S&P forming an inverse head and shoulders pattern. I drew it with a slanting neckline. You could draw it more horizontal. Irregardless, we had an inverse head and shoulder setup. We broke out of that downtrend line back in early December. We rallied up to 918. We came back and we actually back-tested perfectly that broken neckline. We once again rallied up to 918 and failed as we had negative divergence in place. Then we kind of muddled our way down, and it was on Monday of last week. We pulled back once again to retest that 857 area, the 850-857 area, which once again found willing buyers, and then we turned up from there. Needless to say, we've broken above the 918 area as of Friday, and now the question is, are we morphing into a bigger uptrending channel? And I showed this last week for those of you who are away. So we have a potential rising channel in place. And the funny thing that you'll see on these 60-minute charts, and I have this with the Dow and the Qs below, is that this rising channel over time looks like it's going to intersect fairly nicely with our previous swing high. So if this uptrend is to continue, that would be a reasonable target. The upper boundary of the rising channel, especially if it coincides with a previous swing high. And on the S&P, that may be around the 1,000 area approximately. You can see the MACD was coiling. And what I mean by coiling is you can see that we had a red downtrend line, a rising blue line. We were building energy, and we broke out to the upside, confirming that move. So that was nice. Now, on a shorter-term time frame, let's look at the 15-minute chart of the SPY below. Quite honestly, all I see is a rising channel in place. We do have some negative divergence in place on the histogram, indicating the potential for a pullback. But on the regular MACD, we do not have any pronounced negative divergence. One thing that Matt and I have found that we need to be wary of is we see the slow stow 60 below on this 15-minute SPY chart has been above the level of 80 for 3 days. Normally, you get to the 3 or 4 day time frame, and that's about the maximum time we stay overbought on that indicator. And normally, if this indicator turns down from above 80, we'll get a deeper pullback. So the question is, can we continue this rally on Monday before getting a pullback, go up? We'll see. We'll see what the new players do. But we need to be cognizant that on the near term, especially the 5, 10-minute charts, 15-minute charts, even the 30-minute charts, were very stretched in terms of overbought readings. However, when you just break out of a pattern like we did on Friday on those daily charts, sometimes you can take overbought levels to more extreme overbought levels. So at this stage, there's nothing bearish. It's just simply a matter of being overbought. And overbought by itself is not a sell signal. Now let's move on and look at the 5-minute chart. And here, finally, when we get down to the 5-minute time frame, we can see that on the late afternoon push on Friday, we did develop some slight negative divergence. So maybe we get a pullback within the channel, or maybe we get a pullback to backtest our previous resistance, which now may be support around the 918, 920 area on the S&P. Now let's move on and look at the Dow. I'm going to try to get through these much quicker. The Dow broke out of a symmetrical triangle. Here again, the initial target or initial resistance area, the next resistance area on the Dow, comes in at our previous swing high around 96.50. Everything there looks fine at this stage. The 60-minute chart of the Dow looks very similar to the S&P. And again, you can see this rising channel is now potentially looking to its upper boundary of that rising channel is coming in right around our previous swing high. So that 96.50 area, should we get up there, would likely be a area that we're going to find some willing sellers and a more difficult resistance area. The Dow has lagged somewhat here lately as the smaller caps and the Qs have taken the lead. Now let's move on and look at the NASDAQ daily chart. Here again, you can see the ascending triangle. As you know, we broke that intermediate downtrend line back in early December, which certainly got us, we took notice of that. And with the breaking of that intermediate term downtrend line, although it was choppy for several weeks, we erred on the side of on the long side with our watch list suggestions, and now it's paying dividends as we finally broke above that horizontal resistance, as well as the declining 50-day moving average. I want to make note of that. As we went up initially, we found resistance on the 50-day moving averages on many of these indexes. And normally speaking, in the first touch, you're going to run into some resistance. We pulled back, and lo and behold, we went through it the next time. Good action, at least in the near term. The NDX, very similar to the NASDAQ above. By the way, on both the NASDAQ and the NDX, I've put in some potential targets and or resistance areas based upon not only our previous swing highs, but also Fibonacci levels. And if you look at the NASDAQ and the NDX, our 38% retracement area lines up fairly nicely with our previous swing highs. And should we get up there, please pay attention to that to those resistance areas, as there's likely to be willing sellers around that resistance areas. Now, the Qs, next chart, needless to say, the Qs is very similar to the NDX, but some people trade them exclusively, so in the weekend newsletter I've put it in here. Target here, should this rally continue, would be around the 34 area, which is our previous swing high back in early November. The 60-minute chart of the Qs, I once again show a breakout of a symmetrical triangle that occurred on Friday. That was nice. And potentially here we're forming a bullish rising channel. And again, you can see our upper boundary here coincides fairly nicely with our horizontal resistance. And over time may match up with that area fairly nicely. The 15-minute chart of the Qs, other than being overbought, shows just simply a rising channel. No negative divergence in place on our MACD. Again, as we pointed out, our 15-minute slow stochastic 60 have been overbought and above the 80 area for 3 days. We need to take notice of that should we get a decisive turn down from 80. Those of you who are doing some shorter-term swing trades or day traders wanna be exiting on that type of sell signal. The next chart is a daily chart of the Russell. The Russell has been performing fairly well of late. Friday, it lagged, but previous to that, it's been leading the advance. You can see the MACD has moved above the zero area, again, out of an ascending triangle pattern. I've put in some Fibonacci levels along with some horizontal resistance potential target around the 550 area. Should this rally continue, 521 is our initial Fibonacci resistance area, followed by the 550 horizontal resistance area. The 30-minute chart of the Russell shows a breakout of a symmetrical triangle pattern. Perhaps we get a pullback to back test that 490 area, which also 490 also happens to represent a 38% retracement of the Russell's three-day move. So 490 is an important area if you're trading the Russell. The next chart shows a 15-minute chart of the Russell. Now here we have what, and this is the only index that I'm really seeing any type of negative divergence in on a 15-minute time frame. We have slight negative divergence here, and perhaps this is could be drawn as a channel, but initially, we've got a steep uptrend that comes in around 500, and again, below that, the 490 area is some important support to make note of. You can see we do, on the Russell, have some negative divergence in place on the RSI and the MACD. Nothing too pronounced, but we do have it in place, and this index began to labor a little bit on Friday. The 10-minute chart shows this a little clearer. We show a rising wedge in place on the Russell. Thus, we may indeed get a pullback here on this index. Now, let's move on and look at one of our counts. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on Elliott wave counts on the weekend newsletter. We'll get into those another night. But we've talked about this counter trend rally potentially unfolding as an ABC, which would indicate now we're in our C wave in blue, and then potentially we would have a top here around the where the red A is, and then we'd have a potentially a deeper pullback and then rally up once more, potentially another ABC up to C in red, and that would complete our counter trend rally in B above. There are many alternative counts. Some could say, okay, that this is merely a fourth wave type move up and we're going to come down to new lows before having another rally. So let's not put a lot of our forecasting in Elliott wave. Elliott wave is good for using as a roadmap, a guidance, but let's not use it as our entry and exit. Let's use our indicators and our patterns above, and we'll help. We'll implement Elliott Wave as our roadmap as to where we're likely headed over a longer period of time. Now, I'm just going to cover a couple of indicators we follow. Almost all the indicators we're following are still indicating positive action. You can see the NYSI gave us an early signal back in early December with a PSAR buy, and that remains on a buy signal. And I guess one thing got out of order, but also below, I'm going to skip down just below real quick. And if you look at the NASI, that too gave us an early buy signal back in early December. And the next chart is a VIX, and as you know, the VIX broke down out of a symmetrical triangle, and as that broke down, the market rallied. For a while, the VIX was moving down, and yet the S&P was not kicking in, but it's been leading, and needless to say, we got a nice rally over the last three trading days. Now, the one thing I'm watching on the VIX daily chart, and please don't worry, I'm going to come back up to those other charts. But on this VIX daily chart, I've talked about a potential target area or an area that it may test, and that is previous horizontal resistance, which may act as support, and that lines up fairly well with the 200-day moving average. So we're approaching those areas, and that area is around the 35-36 area, 34 to 36 area. So we have to be cognizant that maybe our near-term uptrend may come to a close if the VIX turns up sharply off of this area. We are still on sell signals with our MACD and our TRIX. So until we see those cross up, we're going to still give the benefit of the doubt to the long side. The next indicator is the NASDAQ advanced decline issue. Here again, you can see as we were in a downtrend how it continued to bear form, bear flag, bear flag, bear flag, bear flag, and continue to break to the downside. And then finally here in late November, early December, we came down, we managed to break above a steep downtrend line. We did have positive divergence in place, and thus another confirming indicator that we were set to have some type of counter trend rally. Now let's go back up and look at the two other charts that I skipped over, and I won't spend a lot of time on them. Simply the transport. This is a chart I showed many weeks ago, and it was lined up with our other count on the S&P above. And this is a weekly chart of the transportation index showing a potential ABC pullback here in A of black, and now we're rallying up in B of black. And then we believe, if our count is correct, we will ultimately turn back down and C. Now, whether C is going to be a flat equal to A, considerably lower, who's to say? But right now we view the transports just like we do the major indices above in a counter trend rally. The next chart takes us to a closer view of the transports, and this is a daily chart of the IYT. As you can see, it broke out of a nice symmetrical triangle to the upside, and just below that we show the bullish percent. The bullish percent measures how many of the transports are on buy signals, point and figure buy signals. Needless to say, as more stocks go on buy signals, that's bullish. And this is turning up, and it looks like it has room to run to the upside. One thing that we don't have on this weekend's newsletter, and we will be tracking it closely, are the bullish percent readings on the major indexes. And the two that we most prominently follow are the bullish percent on the New York Stock Exchange, which is BPNYA on stock charts, and then BP Composite, which is BPCOMPQ. And both of those are also confirming this move up. The bullish percents are moving up, so we're seeing good breadth with this action as well. The only thing that's lacked, as I've said, is volume, and that's something to be expected during the holiday sessions. So we'll have to see how things unfold when the traders return this week. Anyway, that's all I have to say. I'm going to move back down now to the watch list area and turn it back over to Matt.
Okay, thanks, Steve. And folks, the first thing I want to talk about is the watch list here. I have a snapshot, as you can see here, the untriggered picks and the triggered picks. By the way, I did add a few new picks tonight, which are not on here. But the reason I want to comment about the watch list is, first, as I stated in the opening newsletter, we've had long picks on the watch list since late November, and so we've been expecting a counter trend rally. It's been choppy, and but finally over the last week or two, we finally started to move to the upside, and you can see the watch list has done very well. The triggered picks are all up very nicely, and again, always remember we're in a counter trend rally, so take profits along the way, and make sure to have stops in place before you enter a trade. Now, those of you new to the site, I get a lot of questions on the watch list all the time. First off, I think the term watch list is confusing. You know, think of it as trade ideas. It's a list of trade ideas. And, you know, people think that there's a hard set rules to the watch list. Not really. Just, again, think of it as trade ideas where, you know, just for you guys to pick and choose from. We have many different types of traders here at Breakpoint Trades. We have day traders who have, you know, will put a very tight stop and will sell quickly, maybe during the day or the next day. We have swing traders who have a little better risk tolerance, and so will put a wider stop. And so no one trades all these the same, and there's no really one effective way to trade them. So everyone's different. It's a hypothetical list to things to choose from. Plus, there are a lot of picks here, and during good times in the market, we have a lot of picks on here, sometimes 20, 30 picks or more. You cannot trade all those picks. I don't trade them all. And I don't know anyone who can effectively trade 20 stocks or more effectively. So, you know, pick as many as you can handle, you know, maybe 3 to 7 or whatever you're comfortable with, and go with them. And that's it. You know, you can use my comments as guidelines, but, you know, they are not hard set rules. And another thing I want to mention is I have two stocks that I had copied from the watch list, USO and Moo. And I'm not going to talk about them specifically. I'm going to talk about these in the commodity index. But what I want to show you is don't just use the table. Make sure to actually click on the stock symbol in the watch list, because then that will take you down to the chart picture. As you can see on USO here, you have the chart picture, but then above the chart, you can see I have dated comments. I have comments from December 21st, then December 29th, and then January 2nd. So that's where I put additional comments. I generally don't put them on the chart. So if you just look at the table, you're going to miss those comments. If you just look at the chart, you're going to miss those comments. That's why you got to look above the chart picture. And also, another example is I just moved USO to the triggered list on Friday. However, you know, again, this is another question I have. People always ask me, well, you know, you didn't move the stock from a triggered to an untriggered list. Don't worry about that, because what you want to do is just pick these, you know, some of these and just follow them on your own, because sometimes I won't move them for days. Or in this instance, USO is, if you look at it here, I mentioned on December 21st that USO could be bought at the bottom of the channel near support. And I also said resistance is the downtrend line and the 20-day moving average. And so the low risk area was to buy it near support. And many people bought it there, including myself. But I waited until it actually took out the resistance area to move it over, because that would have been another area where maybe someone coming to the watch list, a new member later, could have picked it up there, or you could have added. So that's just an example. There's no, you know, sometimes there's buy support plays in here. So there's no real one way to play it. And that's the same with Moo, the chart below. I said it could either be bought once the neckline of this inverse head and shoulder is broken, or it could be bought right at those moving averages with a very tight stop there. And so that's an example of the watch list. So nice gains. Again, don't get complacent, though. But so far, so good. Now moving on to commodities. And commodities had a great week, as you can see. Folks, I'm going to go ahead and get through these commodities quickly, because we're about 40 minutes into this already. And remember, on these newsletters, you can pause them. So if you need to take a break, no big deal. Anyway, commodities, the CRB, as I've been stating over the last few weeks, the 20-day moving average was key resistance, and that was finally taken out last week. And so the next logical target would be the 50-day moving average. And so it looks like we're well on our way. We had a nice divergent low formed in all the commodities. And if the market has a good enough down, you know, a strong enough countertrend rally, maybe the CRB gets back to the 38%. You know, that's quite a ways away, but who knows. But the first target would be the 50-day. DBC is the ETF to commodity index, and I mentioned this in last weekend's newsletter, that could be a way to play commodities. You could see that had a nice week. It took out the 20-day moving average as well. By the way, there's a new ETF. It's an ultra commodities ETF. It is UCD, Uncle Charlie David. And here's another commodity ETF. It's an agriculture ETF, Moo, which I discussed above briefly, but I had this in last week's newsletter as well, and it's been on the watch list for a couple weeks. I put it on the watch list back on December 24th and mentioned it as a low risk buy here with a tight stop near support, below the moving averages. And you can see that's worked out well. Just starting to break the neckline. Potential long-term target is 40, which would just be a fantastic percentage move. You know, if we get up there, who knows, but that would be a nice move over time. So if you're in this, again, nice job, especially if you bought near the moving average supports. You can move your stop up now a little bit, again, and move it up over time. Now moving over to crude oil. Okay, Crude oil had a great week. It was up, I think, over 20. Crude oil was up 23%, so huge week for crude oil. Pretty much expected. As you could see from the watch list, I had USO in late in December. And crude oil bounced off the bottom of the channel, and the last week it took out its 20-day moving average and downtrend line. So next target to the upside is the 50-day and around the 50 area as well, the 50 price. But the 50-day moving average is a good first target. And whether it gets up eventually to the 38%, we'll have to see. But the 50-day would be a first target. USO is the crude oil ETF. And as I mentioned earlier, the low-risk area was to buy it near the bottom of the channel, and many on the blog did. But, you know, someone could have also taken it late or added to position on Thursday or Friday when it took out the 20-day moving average. Again, first logical target seems to be the 50-day moving average and around the 40 area. Gasoline rallied 27% last week, so folks expect some more you know, gasoline, I think, here got to $1.39 a gallon, so looks like it's going to have some upside. No reason to spend any time on that. Next chart is DIG, the ultra-long ETF to oil and gas stocks. This is on the watch list. It's been on the watch list, actually, for quite a while. And it's finally had some upside movement. We originally had it as a long break in a downtrend line here. It broke the downtrend line. Then it rode the downtrend line down. Found support in the downtrend line, which I was hoping it would do, and it's rallied off of it. And it's got some short-term resistance to take out here, but after that, then it could easily move up maybe to the 40 area and even higher. But it's at some short-term resistance. And XLE, the energy ETF, it's taken out some resistance here. There's a resistance area above around the 55 area, and after that would be the 38% retracement. UNG, also on the watch list, is the ETF for natural gas. I also mentioned a few weeks back it could have been bought near the bottom of the channel. And it's meandered its way up slowly. It's not moving much. It kind of, honestly, I don't like the way UNG trades. But some of you might own this. And main resistance, of course, is the downtrend line in the 50-day. So let's see if we can get out of this channel. So make sure you have a stop in place if you are long this stock. And platinum, I mentioned last week's newsletter that 900 was a little resistance, and it's taken that out. Now moving on to the U.S. dollar. This is the key to a lot of these commodities and even the general market. U.S. dollar had a major top in late November. We think that was major wave A. We think it is now in major wave B pullback. And we think it looks like, based on this chart, it has more pullback to come, which should give more upside to the commodities and to the general market. Now, breaking the wave count down even further, you can see that I have a wave count in here in black, waves 1, 2, 3, 4. Looks like this bounce in the dollar off the 38% retracement is a wave 4, so I think the dollar soon pulls back again in a wave 5. Again, that should give some more upside to the commodities. But then I think the dollar will eventually rally up again. At least things could change, but I see that as possibility as another potential longer-term rally in the dollar. I think we're, you know, there's talks about that eventually we could see a hyper-inflationary environment with the government printing tons of money, but I still think we have deflationary pressures to work through. And when credit contraction, I think the amount of money and stimulus being thrown at the economy is still less than the credit contraction, so I still think that has to play out, and that brings us into our next chart of the dollar, the longer-term chart. I still think it could, you know, sometime when it ends this pullback, it could still have one more major rally up. Then after that, maybe we get our hyperinflation. So hypothetical at this stage, no one knows, so we'll have to see. Lastly, let's look at precious metals. Here's a daily chart of gold. Gold last week, just basically meandered around the same area, and it's still struggling at the resistance here. There's a resistance downtrend line here, as you can see, and if it gets through that, next resistance is the 61.8% retracement from the March highs, and that comes in, you can see, almost exactly at 900. So you got a short-term resistance here at the downtrend line from July. You have another resistance at 900. Then you got another resistance at the downtrend line from March. So you got tons of resistance overhead. if the dollar truly plays out in that longer term fashion, has a one more rally up, then gold might have a decent pullback here again, which would be fine with me because that would just be another that would be a better, much better buying opportunity for it than up here. But so that's one thing to watch. Also, watch the 60 period stochastics starting to get a little overbought, and the RSI, the trend line under the RSI. So the next is a weekly chart of the gold. It just shows you the major resistance above. Again, some of the indicators have improved quite a bit, like the TRIX and the MACD. But again, significant resistance above. And lastly, looking at gold stocks, here's a daily chart of GDX. This is the GDX from the watch list, which is up about 57% from the November entry. One word of caution here, folks, is there's a potential rising wedge here. And, you know, it has hit many of our price targets. The last price target would potentially be this 200-day moving average if it has one more push. But then, you know, if it breaks the wedge to the downside, it could start a much bigger pullback here. The 20-day would be first support. But it's time to look to lock in some profits here, folks, and get very defensive. And 60 period stochastics is over 60%, 80%, I mean. So, again, we've had a nice move in gold stocks, and they led this move up, so I think they'll probably pull back first. So keep an eye on the GDX and any other gold stocks you have. Here's a weekly chart of GDM, Gold Miners Index. And I'm showing you the weekly chart is because you could really see on the weekly chart the V-ish nature of this bounce. Again, it's too V-ish. It needs some kind of pullback here eventually, maybe to form a higher low or what have you. But it needs something. That's why I'm stressing that it could happen, you know, fairly soon. So keep an eye on those gold stocks. You know, again, the 200-day moving average, if they have one more push, I think would be your exit target. And last chart is the GDX-GLD ratio. And, you know, it appears that the 7 and 21 EMA crossover on this ratio works fairly well for swing trades. So, I mean, it still has quite a ways to go before those moving averages cross. But, you know, but still, I think if gold stocks hit the 200-day moving average, I think that'd be a good area to exit before these cross. So, but that's a little mechanical system that I noted last week and thought it worked fairly well. Anyway, folks, we'll see you on the blog this week, and we'll see the market's a little more exciting this week with some more volume, and I don't think I have anything else. So I will talk to you later, and we will see you tomorrow. Thank you.